Okay, today's daf was Shabbos daf Kuf Gimel, and yesterday's daf we finished off with the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about which malacha is violated when you drill a hole or when you chisel a stone, drilling a hole in a chicken coop, and Shmuel holds it's a violation of Makom HaPatish, Rav holds it's a violation of Bona. So the Gemara tries a raya against Shmuel at the beginning of the daf. Tashma kodeach kol shu chayiv. If somebody drills a tiny hole, a tiny amount, he's chayiv. So if the malacha or malacha of Bona makes a lot of sense, that you could be chayiv for drilling a very small amount if you make a small hole with a drill. But if the malacha is makom patish, what are you finishing off when you make a small hole in something? You're not finishing anything. On chicken coop it makes sense, but stam to drill a hole in a wall doesn't make any sense that it would be makom patish. So the Gemara answers, no, hacham ha'eskin and debazi barams of the parzel of a shafke begavei dahainu gemar malacha. We're talking about where you hammer a nail into the wall and you leave the nail in the wall as a hook. So it's a single drill, but it's also makom patish because now you have a functional hook. The Gemara goes on, tells Rav Shmuel Gamliel lomar amakah b'kornus al asadon. The Mishnah had said that according to Rav Shmuel Gamliel, if you hit a hammer against an anvil where you're not directly hitting on something that you're fixing, you're still going to be chayiv. And the Gemara tries to figure out why. So first it thought that maybe the practice swing, getting better at swinging the hammer, is what you're chayiv for. But the Gemara says that's ridiculous, because then just watching somebody at work you should be chayiv for, because you get better by observing people who are experts. So the Gemara says no. The point is that it helps smooth out the hammer, that just like in the Mishkan when they would bang the thin sheets of metal, and every once in a while they would swing onto something else just to smooth out the hammer. So here also it's smoothing out the hammer, and that's what you're chayiv for. HaChoresh kolshu, HaMenachish kolshu. The Mishnah says that a person is chayiv for plowing or weeding, even very tiny amounts, Malakit Eitzim, Malakit Asavim. But if you're collecting wood or you're collecting grass, then it's not even tiny amounts. Then it depends on what your intention is. If you're trying to improve the area that you're picking from, then the shear is a kolshu. But if you want to use the wood, you want to use the grass, so then the shear is going to be larger depending on what you want to use it for. So the reason a person is chayiv for plowing a tiny amount is that even a tiny amount of land is chazi lebizra dekara. It could be used for planting a single pumpkin seed, which is similar to what they would plant in the Mishkan when they were making the herbs that they would use to make the dyes. So even a tiny area is usable. But when weeding or pruning, the shear depends on what your kavana is. Imli afus hasakarka kolshein. If you just want to make the ground nicer, so then it's even a kolshu, a tiny amount. So Gemara says, wait a second. No matter what your ultimate intention is, you are making the ground nicer. So shouldn't it always be a kolshu? Because at the end of the day, the ground is becoming nicer. So the Gemara gives two answers to that. Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, no, that we're talking about a swampland which is not being improved at all by pruning it. And Abaye says, no, it's you're not having any kavanah to improve the land, because it's not your land. It's your neighbor's land, and you have no interest in improving his land. And even though you might say, well, it's psik reshe, it's going to be improved, but it's psik reshe de la nichale, because you're not interested at all in improving his land. And this is one of the great rayas of the Aruch, that psik reshe de la nichale is mutar lecharchila, because the Gemara says that it's no problem at all. It's not a violation on a kol shehu, because it's lo nichale. Then the whole rest of the daf is about kosef. HaKosef shtei yosios. Mishnah teaches if a person is chayiv for writing two letters with whichever hand you write with. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean? If you write with your left hand, ein derech ksiva bekach, that's not a normal way to write, so why would you be chayiv? So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abayi b'sholet b'shtei. Although we're talking about an ambidextrous person, Rabbi Yaakov b'rei devas Yaakov, Amar hamani Rabbi Yosihi. That we're assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Yosi, that you're chayiv even if you don't form letters, you just make markings, so you could do that just as effectively with your left hand as you can with your right hand, and therefore it's the derech to do so. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if you wanted to write a longer name, but only wrote the first two letters, which themselves make up a shorter name, like Shin Mem from Shimon or from Shmuel, Gimel Dalid from Gadil, and all these different names that he has, different examples, Nun Ches from Nachor, you wrote Noach, so in all these cases, you're going to be chayiv, according to Rabbi Yehuda. In a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda quotes the sheet of his Rebbe, Rabban Gamliel, which is a little different. Rabban Gamliel holds, even if it's not Nun Ches or Shin Mem, but it's two of the same character, Reish Reish, Gimel Gimel, something like that, even for that you're going to be chayiv. The Braisa quotes Rabbi Shimon's opinion that Einu chayiv ad she yasa malacha shakayotze ba miskayemes. So you're only going to be chayiv if the malacha is lasting. And the Gemara explains that means he has to write the entire name he had planned on writing originally. Shin Mem from Shimon would not be enough. You have to write the whole name. Unlike the Tanakam holds, you chayiv for writing Shin Mem when you intended to write Shimon. So the Gemara says, well, one second. How can you write Shin Mem and have a word that when you intended to write Shimon, it's different mems? The Shin Mem, if you were just writing Shame, the Mem would be Mem Sofis, which would be closed Mem. Whereas if it was part of Shimon, it would be a Mem Pasuach. So the Gemara says, how can it happen? Mi dummy Mem de Shame, Sasum, Mem de Shimon, Pasuach. So, after all, the Braisa warns they have to be very careful to observe all the details of how to write a Sefer Torah, including where to put the psuchos and stumos, which sections to write as a shira, and also what type of ink to use, and also about a mem pasuach and a mem sasum. So the Gemara answers that we're assuming, like the one Tana that holds, that an open mem in place of a closed mem is still considered to be a kosher letter, and therefore it doesn't make that big of a difference. And tomorrow's daf, we're going to discuss how we got to two different forms of mem and how things changed over time, and what exactly the role of the Nevi'im played in Mem Sasum was. Okay.